You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Buzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. You know what time it is. You're in the right place. You're at the right time. Don't be afraid. It's the AfterBuzz TV Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We're talking about Season 1, Episode 15, Yes Men. I am Matt Lieberman. Joining me, as always, the fantastic panel, the ladies, fantastic Megan Salinas.
Hey, everyone.
Kristen Carroll.
Hey, guys.
Joyce Ajuri.
What is up?
We got Phil Svitek on the ones and twos tonight.
Svitek.
Yes, Svitek.
Phil, what is it? Son of Cole.
Phil, son of Cole. Phil, tech of Svi. Thank you for joining us. Okay, guys, we've been looking forward to this episode since we heard that it was happening, you know, months and months ago, that we were going to get this great Thor crossover, Lady Sif visiting the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. universe. How do we feel? I had a lot of fun.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Did not disappoint in the least bit.
It was cool we got to learn more about her character as well, because in the movies I feel like we all like her, but we got even more in depth, which was cool.
Right. We kind of tend to get shortchanged in the movies because she's not the star. We know that she has feelings for Thor that don't really get to, you know, make their way forward. Yep. She's the one maybe he should be with. How do you feel, Joyce?
I thought it was great. I mean, seeing them fight, both of them, was really badass. Mm-hmm. And again, I did like learning more about her character. And it was cool to find out that Lorelai did actually take Thor, like we talked about last episode.
Exactly. It happened in the comics, and now we have evidence that it happened in the cinematic universe as well.
And Haldor, and I can't find anything on him. I don't... Yeah. I was so frustrated.
Folks at home, we tried our best to find Haldor. If you know anything about Haldor, tweet at us. Get at us on the YouTube, on the Twitter, on the iTunes. It really, really helps us out. You know, when we're not able to find stuff out, you are our first line of defense in not looking like dummies. So, you know, do us a solid. We just watched the episode. There's not a lot of time to do
research.
Yeah,
we were trying in our 5 minutes before showtime to be like, all right, who is this Haldor guy?
Yeah. But, you know, it was a very fun ride. We were worried, I think, at the top of the show that we weren't going to get any forward motion on the events of last episode with our blue alien, potentially a Kree, which is, as a theory...
It was mentioned.
It holds up because Kree is mentioned among all of the races of blue aliens that Sif has known throughout her life that she's come into contact with. So it's not out of the question that it is a Kree. I still maintain that it is a Kree. But let's back it up to the beginning. So at the end of last episode, we saw Lorelai take over poor Jimmy and his brain, and he abandons his bride at that wonderful tiny motel in the middle of Death Valley, because that's where you go on a honeymoon.
They have nice wildflowers.
They have nice wildflowers, and then also, you know, maybe they
and
just...
her marriage died, too.
Oh, it withered and died.
Death Valley.
Well, you know, they may have just wanted to spend their whole honeymoon in bed. That might have been a thing.
Perhaps.
You know, so that's why you go to Death Valley, because no distractions except wildflowers. But, you know, he's helping her out. But the first place they pull into, he says he needs something. You know, there's all these bikers around. She's like, ooh, okay, Rooster. First of all, the name of a real
that
man.
That is a tough name right there.
Oh, yeah. Rooster has men. He has an army. So, you know, obviously, all of those men belong to Lorelai now.
And how cool was it when she, I mean, poor Jimmy, but she punched Jimmy and he just flew across
like toppled over the car and everything like that.
That was pretty awesome.
I love violence against other men. As a man, I would prefer that all other men be beat up.
I'm always
women.
Excited to see a woman kick butt, just because I'm like, I want to be like that.
And we get so much of that this episode. We get Lorelai and Sif, you know, fighting, and that was a great battle. And then we also have May fighting Ward, and that was intense, too. So we get a lot of that this episode.
Exactly. A lot of fighting. You know, I wish that we weren't so tight on the sword fighting shots because, you know, it kind of covers up the actual fight. But, you know, I understand the limitations of television. They're in a small space.
Yeah, it didn't help they were in a small room.
Well,
yeah.
And I think they did that on purpose, too, probably because it's a television budget rather than a movie one. So you can't make it this huge sword fight.
So, yeah, for TV, you trap her in a room and get her cornered, whereas if this was another, like, say, Thor 3, and they were having a showdown, it would be this big thing and this big open field.
Yeah, it made it easier for them to cut it short and just have her captured pretty quickly.
Exactly. And, you know, what I love most about this episode, you know, like any episode of a TV show that's really awesome, is it is an outside force directly affecting the relationships between our core characters. And we have Ward and May and their secret relationship, you know,
secret
or not so secret, however you want to call it, you know, being brought into the forefront as he, you know, he has no choice but to follow Lorelai.
He could have shot her. He had every opportunity to shoot her.
Why does Ward always take his time? He took his time to pull the trigger on May. He took his sweet time to pull the trigger on Lorelai.
No, okay.
Maybe he just thinks about, I bet I look really cool pointing the gun right now.
Or, let me get in her pants first.
Or, you know, maybe he's haunted by the memory of the well and
That's
of
true.
His brother down in the well. And, you know, he's afraid of acting because he's, you know, frankly, he's afraid to kill someone.
I guess it's for the better.
I mean, he has killed people in the past, but he doesn't like it. He doesn't like pointing guns at someone. He doesn't like shooting people.
Which is good, but he had an icer gun. You know, she would not have died. She would have been fine.
That's true.
I'm just mad at him.
Night-night.
I miss the night-night. What did icer stand for again?
It stands for incapacitating cartridge.
Emitting ray gun.
Not a ray
gun. Well, he got cut off. We never found out what ER stood for.
But I think it's just the ice. The ice is the important part. I like that they're rebranding. It shows that the writing staff has taken any negative notes that they got in the first half of the season to heart, and they're taking the show more seriously. They've been raising the stakes every episode.
Totally.
And I feel like, you know, adding an arsenal to what our agents have and giving it a more professional name shows that they're giving a solid commitment to making this the most intense show that they can make.
Well, and I think it just shows a change in mentality in our characters, too. We go from being cutesy, oh, it's a night-night gun, to, no, this is an icer, and you incapacitate people with them.
Crap's getting real right now.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's showing in all the characters.
Yeah.
It's good.
They've been through some stuff.
Some serious stuff. You know, we were rocked by the last couple of episodes. Sky is still recovering, but let's talk about, you know, this Sif Lorelai plot line. It was the main driving force of our episode. So, you know, Lorelai's gathering all these bikers and suddenly there's this energy surge, which, you know, tells our shield agents that an Asgardian is about to come to Midgard. So they rush off to meet her and it's Sif, and we get a great sequence. We get, you know, the intricate, not scroll work, but
Lady Sif can stop traffic.
Yeah, man. Hey, man. I would. She's an alien.
She's
and I would.
Gorgeous.
That might burn or destroy me because I'm not an alien.
I want her
War's
costume.
Okay.
I want her garb so bad. It's
Halloween,
awesome.
Halloween, baby.
I know. Sure. Maybe I should start making it from now.
You could totally be Lady Sif for Halloween.
I would love to. Mm-hmm.
She's got that tiny shield. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She doesn't need anything else.
It's a baby shield.
Well, no. It's a clutch shield. Do you know what I mean?
It's
like a clutch purse. Yeah, it's more of a fashion statement than it is a piece of armor.
It barely covers anything.
But it's light and it's functional. She likes being able to move fast in combat. She doesn't need to be over encumbered by a lot of armor. Her speed is her ally, you know. So before we take it apart, you know, she's very strong. But she's also faster than her male counterparts. And I think that's what makes her especially lethal in combat. It's something that Lorelai is more than prepared for because she's not wearing any armor.
Yeah.
No, she's wearing a leather jacket. Like she's a
and
biker
leather
chick.
Pants. My man. Cheers. Yeah. No, I think there were a lot of fans of this episode out in the world tonight.
This
I am
one of them. If this didn't increase the demographic, then I don't know what will.
Well, this is just all in all a great episode because it didn't slow down the action from the last couple episodes, but it was still fun. It was something kind of lighthearted, but the stakes were really high still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it had comedy and really good fight scenes, so just, you know, we can move on.
I
really liked this one.
Lady Sif comes to Earth and she warns our team of the impending threat of Lorelai, that she's out there. She's conquered worlds before. She has the power of sorcery. Dun, dun, dun. you know, and that she, you know, no matter what, no man can resist her. Men lack something that women have, this sort of
it's the other way around.
Or men have something that women lack. That makes us more vulnerable to sorcery.
Weakness.
Yeah.
Which I loved when she said that, and May was like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course May would agree with that.
She knows how to work
it. I just love when we get a little reaction out of her like that. That's so funny, you know, her little smiles or asides because, you know, she is so serious most of the time.
Sassy May is the best.
Yeah. Sassy May is our favorite May.
I think that's why we also like Lady Sif so much in this episode because we cheer for, you know, May, who's serious and kicks real butt but has like a funny side, and Lady Sif is another kick butt girl that we kind of, I like their little bonding moment.
We saw all the tough women's vulnerabilities this episode. I mean, we saw their strengths. Obviously, they can kick ass. But we also saw that, you know, Lorelai doesn't want to go back to Asgard. She's miserable there. She's here because she wants to escape. And then we have Lady Sif, who is still kind of haunted by the fact that Lorelai stole Holdor and Thor from her.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have May with the whole ward thing and finding out that she wasn't the person that he wanted before Lorelai.
Yeah.
Well, what I really like about seeing all these women interact is that they're all strong women, but none of them fall into kind of like the generic strong female character tropes. Mm. They're all strong female characters, but they're also distinct and so different, and they all have like such great personalities. Yeah.
That's
too.
True. And none of them, they all are tapped into, you know, their strength, but they all also are tapped into their feminine side. Like none of them go full Sarah Connor in Terminator 2. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you're just pure soldier. Like May is the most effective agent and soldier in the entire team. But I would say that she's very much dialed into, you know, traditionally feminine side. She hasn't lost that. She is very much a whole person.
Yeah.
As much as she tries to deny that, I think, at times.
It's true.
Yes.
And I like seeing them all kind of go through their own little weaknesses in this episode, but none of them were necessarily like damsels in distress. Like
exactly.
They could still get themselves out of whatever situation they could in their own way.
Exactly. Even Simmons, who's trapped in that room with Skye, she's ready to bash the next man who comes in, even if it's Coulson, with a freaking fire extinguisher, which would have broken his skull. Thank you very much. I would not want to be on the receiving end of that. I'm going to throw this question to the panel. Do we think that Lorelai slept with Thor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yes.
Probably.
Damn.
If we're going to go by the comics, he was her love slave for a while.
Yeah, and pre Natalie Portman,
right.
Jane.
Well, Thor was kind of irresponsible. He was immature. He was a kid looking for a good time.
He was a cad. He was a prince.
Exactly.
He was a lustful prince.
Yeah.
And now he's got Jane Foster. But, you know, frankly, Ward should be grateful to receive Thor's, dare I say it,
seconds?
Sloppy seconds.
I mean, it's
he's
seconds of a
much
god.
He's closer to Thor. Yeah. He's that much closer to being a demigod.
Yeah. Listen, the seconds of a god is a meal to all men.
Well, I'm wondering if there's any significance with specifically targeting Ward and May with all this Asgardian stuff that keeps happening. Because they were the recipients of the Berserker staff.
True.
And all of the drama that entailed. And that's what started them on their relationship in the first place. And now we have Lorelai. And this sort of seemingly breaking up their relationships. And all of this has to do with Asgard.
It's very poetic, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fitting that, you know, what you know, sowed the seeds of their union would also sow the seeds of their, you know, disharmony. And I hope they're able to work it out. But the key thing that Lorelai is able to uncover from Ward that he may not have even realized himself is that May is not the one that he wanted. May is not the one that he wanted before Lorelai. Whether or not she's telling the truth, we don't know. But May certainly seems to think it's the truth. It's enough for her to push him away at the end of this episode. The question is, how much of that is true in what Grant Ward is feeling?
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, he didn't seem to correct her when she said, you are more honest with Lorelai than you are with yourself. He didn't seem to defend himself or say, like, no, what she said was wrong. To me, that would have been more of, like, a way to prove that, you know, maybe.
And I didn't realize how much I cared about Ward and May being together until I found out that maybe he wasn't talking about her. And I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think maybe that's because I care for May and it hurt her.
Yeah.
And you kind of were starting to assume and kind of, at least for me, like, warm up to this couple. I mean, I kind of like them, but then all of a sudden today I'm like, wait, why aren't they together?
Well, yeah. What's interesting.
Why doesn't he like her? She's cool.
She's awesome.
What I love about this is it actually makes what we've been talking about all season feel even more calculated, namely that we've gotten sparks with Skye, and then we've also sensed sparks with Simmons, whether or not that was intentional on the writer's part. Bringing this all together like this now makes it feel more intentional that we don't know where his loyalties lie love-wise.
True.
So this is less of a love triangle and more of a love square.
Absolutely.
It's just a young...
Maybe a love octagon.
A young hot
we're throwing
guy
Fitz
that
in there, too.
Fitz for everything.
Poor Fitz. Look.
Because Fitz likes Skye, but he kind of likes Simmons, too. So together, is this like an octagon?
Why can't everyone just make up their minds?
Look, when you have two young and available men on a big old plane... And one of them is an alpha male cut from glass who can kill a man with his finger and do some more amazing things with the rest of the hand. And the other one makes gadgets and is kind of a nerd and loves sandwiches.
But he has an accent.
He does have an accent.
That gives him extra points.
He's a cute nerd. But the other one's, again, cut from glass and has power fingers. I'm just going to say one's going to win over the other. I'm sad about that. I'm not an alpha male. I was not cut from glass. I was cut from Sculpey. That is a type of clay. That's not even normal clay. It's BS clay.
What is Sculpey?
Oh, I've Sculpey never heard of it. Is great. It is multicolored. It is a type of clay. We'll get into it later.
Are you sure you're not describing Play-Doh?
No.
It kind of sounds like Play-Doh.
Play-Doh is completely different from Sculpey. Reach out via Twitter. Educate Megan Salinas on what Sculpey is.
Please
Thank
feel
you very
free.
Much.
Send me pictures.
Twitter at the Menguin. Yes.
If you Google Sculpey, you'll see Matt in the image search.
If that's not the case, I would love it if someone would hack Google to make that happen.
The very first picture will be Matt with a thumbs up.
There are actually a lot of pictures where I did the double thumbs up because that was my signature photo pose for a while.
Nice.
You know, when you're not sure of yourself and you need a signature photo pose because you don't think you're attractive between the ages of like 17, 21. Okay.
Aww.
All right. Let's get back on
that
topic.
That took a really dark turn.
No, it's not dark because I grew and I became a better person because of it.
Well, you're looking very dapper today.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
We also talk about your haircut.
My hipster cut, I think, adds some edge.
And your lumberjack Christmas shirt.
And for those who aren't watching, you should check it out on YouTube. I was calling it the Don Draper look.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you to check me out on YouTube, but they already did. So.
That's his way of saying check him out on YouTube.
Okay, before we get into
look
even
up Sculpey
more...
and then you'll find him.
Before we get even more off the reservation, I'm going to take us to iTunes Talk so we can get back down to earth, okay? But before I do, I want to tell you about a new reality show, a docuseries that's coming to Oxygen TV. You know, we talk every week about iTunes, and it's not just because we like hearing your feedback. And don't get me wrong, we do love hearing your feedback. But, you know, these ratings and reviews, what they really are about is about keeping the lights on here at AfterBuzz TV, keeping the doors open. You know, this company, we produce these podcasts for free. We don't make any money off of it. You know, we're still trying to get our sponsors together, keep the doors open, keep the lights on. We produce over 70 hours of content a week, and it's all free. You can download it. You can stream it. You can watch it. You can listen anywhere. And we legitimately need your support to maintain the level of work that we're putting out. To put out this much quality content takes a lot of support. And your ratings and reviews on iTunes legitimately help the cause. It helps us get sponsors. It helps guests know that they're secure here, that this is a great place for them to come.
It helps
and
us get guests.
Yes. It helps them realize, you know what, this is a real place to come and talk directly to your fans. Mm-hmm. And another way to support the network beyond rating and reviewing is to watch a new docuseries that's coming to Oxygen Tuesday, March 18th at 10/9 Central. It's called Chasing Maria Menounos. Now, Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro, they founded AfterBuzz TV. Mm-hmm. They're a professional partnership. We love them dearly. And this reality show is all about their lives together. Maria, you know, she has so many jobs. She wears so many hats. We're always chasing Maria, trying to get her make decisions on these things. You're going to see a lot of...
I'm going to cut you off, Matt. Oh. They don't care about that. They want to see AfterBuzzers in action.
Yeah. Getting to it.
And that's what you get with the reality show. Yes. Not all the time. You know, there's other
but
stuff.
But there
like
are.
Maria.
You see your favorite AfterBuzzers making cameos.
Exactly.
At pool parties or other random events.
There's a lot of AfterBuzz backstage stuff. If you want to see what happens behind the scenes here at AfterBuzz, it's a great opportunity for you to see that and to help out all of us here at the network, because the better the show does, the better we will do. It will raise our profile. It really means a lot to us to have your support. Now, I have like a billion reviews to read, yeah. So bear with me, but I'm going to do them all because I promised that I would.
And we've gotten a few like direct Twitter messages as well. You guys are super awesome.
So sweet.
You're the greatest. And right now we have 82 ratings on the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
awesome.
Podcast.
That's more ratings than we had for Sherlock last
it's
time
more
I checked.
Ratings than we had for Sherlock, but it's not more ratings than I had for Sleepy Hollow. And that show was only on for 13 episodes. So I put it to you, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Buzzers. Get on the iTunes, rate and review. Let's get over 100 ratings. If we get over 100 ratings, I'll do everything in my power to get Clark Gregg on this show by the end of the season.
Actually, I've been talking to his publicist.
Carroll has been talking to his publicist.
We're trying hard to get them on, but they're always...
Their schedules are really tough because they film at night. Yeah.
Well, and as you saw even in this episode, I mean, they're in Vegas, so they're all over the world and stuff too. So they live tweet usually from whatever location they're on. So it's really difficult to get them in. But, yeah, I've been working with a few people
look,
at ABC and
no
stuff,
matter
too.
Where they are, no matter how difficult their schedules are, we will get them on this show in some form or another. Let's get it to 100.
Let's hashtag it, you guys. Coulson on AfterBuzz. Start tweeting.
Hey, make
it
trend.
Clark, all right, I'm going to read these
that
reviews
would help
now.
Me out.
shout out to CBasketball12, 5-star review. This is definitely the best Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast. Oh, I agree. You guys are obviously real fans of the show. You come up with great theories. You have recognized stuff and come up with ideas I wouldn't have seen or thought of. I love following up on the show by listening to this. Frank77684747. Boom. I love it. Love his podcast. 5 stars. I drive 2 hours a day going back and forth to work, and y'all make the time fly by. I'm not as critical as many of the viewers of the show or listeners of the podcast might be, so some would say I'm very easily pleased. I definitely don't think that's the case. He listens to this podcast, Almost Human, Justified. It's getting to where I almost feel more... close to your podcast than the show sometimes. You keep me interested in laughing. Keep up the great work. Yes, by Lyra Donaire. This podcast is definitely one of the best. The hosts are all so funny and stay on relevant topics more than other podcasts. Matt Lieberman needs to clone himself so every household in America can have one of their own.
Lieberfans.
And Phil says, is this list longer than the number of shows that Matt hosts? And it's not, actually. I'm proud of that.
And then it says, ha ha.
So thank you, Lyra. Sass7Fire, I've been really impressed with every podcast that AfterBuzz TV has to offer. Listen to quite a lot. This is a very long review, so I'm just going to say thank you because we need to get back to it. J. James Barnes, I love the host and follow about 7 or 8 AfterBuzz shows. I love hearing the theories and predictions. A must addition for a S.H.I.E.L.D. fan. You guys, aww. From Jason from Cali, I always look forward to hearing your insights and thoughts about the show. It always feels like I'm having a conversation with my buddies when we geek out over our favorite shows. Keep up the great work and hear you next week.
Thank you, guys. You guys are the best.
Yeah, legitimately, it means a lot, not just to us here on the panel, but to everyone here at AfterBuzz TV. You're making our jobs easier. You're making our lives better. Your support is everything. So I thank you. We all thank
you. Yeah, it makes us feel good that we're, like you said, like your buddies, like talking to your buddies.
It makes us feel like we're doing something right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, after we find out where Lorelai is, we get a ping after all of these little crimes start popping up. Sif lets Agent Coulson know that this technology they had on Asgard forever ago.
Obsolete.
Obsolete. Touch screens, whatever. So they head down, they fight all the bikers, and Lorelai snatches up Ward and asks him to take her to a place where she can rule, a place fit for a queen. So where does he take her?
Caesar's Palace. Is this the real Caesar's Palace?
Oh, yeah. It's the real Caesar's Palace.
That would have been a funny episode.
Yes.
They should do some outtakes of what happened in Vegas.
I love that idea.
For the DVD.
But what I love even more, or maybe not love, is that, you know, Lorelai, so taken with Grant Ward, she totally bangs him.
She does.
She does.
She didn't even need, like, a bottle of alcohol.
Well, and it's funny, too, because she's like, get me an army and I'll give you a gift. Like, she didn't even wait for the army.
Yeah, no. Maybe he's a one-man army.
Well,
meow.
He's done. He's already
enamored.
Why
buy the cow when you can get the milk for free?
It's true. She did not have to marry him to get that milk.
Nope.
She just had to seduce him with magic. But, yeah. They totally bang, and then he brings her onto the bus. You know, Coulson asks May, you know, what would be your next strategy? Where would you go? And said, like, I wouldn't hide anywhere. I'd take out my main threat. They're on the bus. They've already converted Fitz. Oh, man, S is happening.
I did not see that coming at all. Like, all of a sudden, you know, we see Lady Sif is in the room, and then the door is locked, and you're like,
in a weird way, I was kind of expecting the door to close. Well, no, I was expecting Fitz to close the door on her, but I was like, why would I be expecting that? That makes no sense. Like, why would he want to close her in? That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, he did. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. Oh, okay, I'm dumb.
Well, while we were watching the show, you said that, is this some sort of ploy? Like, is Ward just kind of messing with her?
Well, because he let her walk up to him.
After you said that, I was like, he's smarter than that. Like, he'll come out of this. This is just his way of, like, getting her to them. But nope, he's weak.
Although that would have been a great plan.
Been really
like, if
good.
They had found some way to sort of counteract
but then
the effects.
How would they have justified him resisting her sorcery? That would have been interesting.
Yeah, that would have been.
I'll give you an idea.
Tell me.
The Berserker Staff, by poisoning the mind of Grant Ward and having him deal with that rage all the time, potentially would have made him stronger than other men. However, if Thor falls under her spell, anyone falls under her spell. And obviously Ward did, which leading to this awful, I mean great, but awful for us to watch, fight scene between Ward and May, where he is just beating her up, man.
I actually was hoping maybe we'd see Lorelai go up to Coulson, and it would have been interesting to me if that wouldn't have worked on Coulson, and maybe that had something
because
to do
with
the... With the Kree
GH.
Blood.
Yeah. Well, we don't know if she did try.
Well, no, I mean, we did...
we never saw them together.
We
I feel like if that
together.
Was a thing... Yeah. They would have shown it.
But I thought that would have been interesting. So I was kind of waiting for that moment, but I liked what we got with Fitz a lot better.
Mm-hmm. She's isn't like, she the best?
She's just the best, isn't it? Isn't she?
Didn't you call her like baby at some point?
No.
Oh, come on, baby. No.
Yeah. Oh, poor Fitzy.
He's so cute.
He's got a weaker mind than most. Strong in intelligence,
well,
weaker
and
in mind.
And just the way Coulson went along with it was just so funny to watch. Just like, oh, yeah, she's great. She's
like,
great.
I have to go to the basement because she told me to.
I've got
to
go check on
the
great.
Thing. I've
she's
already
great.
Got them locked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just cracked me up so much.
But I was just as pleased as anyone when Sif finally clamped the collar around her neck and it silenced her forever, broke Ward free from the spell just after he would have shot May in the head, mind you,
terrible.
If she hadn't
if
removed
she hadn't
the clip.
Yeah, that was really quick of her.
Yeah.
I was wondering about the bikers and everyone else that she, used her
Jimmy.
Sorcery on. And Jimmy, like, after she got silenced and everything, like, I wonder if, I mean, we obviously don't see what happens
if
to
they
them,
all got free.
But I wonder if Rooster like felt bad for killing his wife.
Yeah, Dwayne's like,
yeah, he's
got to
live with
done.
That.
Yeah. Poor men.
No wife murdering. Let's not do
I wouldn't
that.
Want to marry a guy, be with a guy named Rooster
anyway. His name was Dwayne. Rooster's just what he calls himself when he's trying to sound tough.
It's like
would you
the
be
Rock.
With a Dwayne, though?
Dwayne is a good name.
Like hey, Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah, except ooh. He spells it entirely differently. He does still with the W and the Y. Insane.
Well, maybe he spelled it that way, except closed captioning changed it.
Fine. Fine. If we're going to go that route,
which is
fine.
Probably the reason why we can't find anything on Holdor.
But every time you
Haldor.
Say that, I think Holdor.
Hodor.
And then Haldor, I'm like,
yeah.
Holdor.
Yeah. This is not Game of Thrones. Let's get back into it, folks. So, yeah, we seal off this story. They head back, hopefully, to Asgard to deal out some Asgardian justice.
Which is very great because we get a quick little insight that these orders came directly from Odin.
Slash
Odin
Loki.
Specifically wanted her back.
Wanted her
so,
back
that
alive.
That was good. I didn't think about that.
Oh,
yeah.
You're thinking that Odin
Loki.
Might be...
Well, no,
now,
because it's Loki.
Yeah.
Because at the end of Thor the Dark... With the
oh, right.
spoilers? Is this do I call this spoilers?
Spoilers.
It's been
spoilers.
Out. It's on DVD now.
Well, at the
end
of Thor,
the
Dark World, we see that Loki is sitting on the throne of Odin, disguised as Odin, and we don't know what happened to Odin. Presumably, he's incapacitated. We don't think he's
well,
dead. And
I think he's dead.
I think so,
I don't
too.
Think Loki would have killed him.
He
I
killed
think
his
he
mom.
No, he didn't. Loki did
no,
not kill his mom.
I
that was
he
a
did.
Dark elf.
Oh, that's no. true. He wouldn't do that.
He was really upset when his mom died. Well,
he loved his mom, but his dad that's wasn't true. Actually his dad.
I tend to think death would be too easy. I think it's the same reason why Sif doesn't kill Lorelai. I think he wants him to suffer. But the question is, so they said that Lorelai went through, you know, the portal, one of the Loki secret ones. Did he tell her maybe to come into... you know, Earth and try to take it over? I mean, maybe he's like, maybe it needs a woman's touch.
I don't know. I'm
he
wondering,
tried to take it over.
I'm wondering if maybe her jailbreak may have been arranged via Loki, but I don't think he commanded her to come down
well,
to Earth.
They said that she escaped during the Dark Elf.
Right.
So it's possible that he planned it,
but it's probably
I think
not.
It's more likely that she just escaped.
Yeah.
And him on the throne now is like, oh, she's down on Midgar now.
Like
Let's
she could
bring
make her,
her
own
back.
Habit.
She could be useful.
She could be
bring
useful.
Bring her back to
but
me.
But also, you got to think about the long con here. You know, he's in place as the king of Asgard. You know, he can be the king of Asgard for years, for decades, before anyone finds out about it. If he acts like Odin would act, so
that's true
having
too.
Lorelai free does not help him with his ultimate goal of ruling everything.
That's sure. also true. He probably has to ask himself with every decision, what would Odin do? Odin would do this, and so that's what I have to do in this situation.
He's maintaining his cover until you know the opportune time.
Well, it's either a well placed cover, an attempt to get her onto his side or some combination of
it's an interesting train of thought, but I think what that line is ultimately about is if she had the choice, she would kill her.
Yeah.
Sif would kill her right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
She would kill her right then and there because she, in her mind, deserves it. But instead, brings her back to Asgard, healthy and alive. We're not happy about it, but there we go.
We'd rather have her suffer and be tortured than
yes.
than just die.
I yes. guess that's true.
at least that's what Sif would want.
Yes.
Well, maybe not, but anyway.
Anyway.
You want her to suffer.
Anyway. I know.
So, yeah, May and Ward, after this, you know, Coulson has been talking to May this whole time about, like, is this a problem? I know that even if it was, you wouldn't tell me, but you should deal with it or at the very least talk to someone. And Ward goes to May, you know, he's trying to apologize. And she's like, it's not a problem. I told you that it wouldn't be. And that's so not the truth. And, you know, she basically, she says, as we've mentioned, you know, you were more honest with her than you were with me. I'm not the one you want. And I'm not going to tell you, but I'm damn pissed about it.
I thought she was going to have a heart-to-heart after Coulson suggested she did. I thought she was going to finally open up, but lo and behold.
It's not her nature.
But no, she just pushed
I just
him away.
Something. Because, you know, she did give Coulson that advice, and when he gave her his advice, she was like, you should follow your advice. So I thought maybe she would do
Something along those lines.
But now that we know what she, who she called later on, you know, were her intentions so pure, or does she want to have a confirmation like, well, if you're not going to tell me you saw a blue alien, you better tell Sky and I have it.
We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that a little later. Let's get everything else out of the way. So Sky, thankfully, woken up from her surgery. She's alive. She's well. She is trapped in a room in a hospital bed. Because Dr. Simmons will not let her out. And I loved, I'd almost like, it had been so long since we had seen Chloe Bennett playing this role, I almost forgot what Sky was like.
Yeah, it's like a month and a half now, isn't it? Because of the Olympics for the break and everything like that. So yeah, it's been a month and a half since we've actually seen.
Well, and then she wakes up and she goes, I must look terrible. And it's like, girl, and your hair is perfect and your makeup is flawless.
I literally, like not a second before, was like, she's so pretty. And then she's like, I must look terrible. And we're like, ew, shut up. I just liked you a second ago and now I think you're fake. And Ward comes in and he's sweet on both of them, maintaining the fact that it's not necessarily obvious that it's Sky that he wants.
Yeah.
Although, you know, he hangs back and he talks with her and maintains the, you know, ooh, are they going to hook up thing, which they probably will. But I still think he and Simmons would be a more interesting pairing because it's so obvious that him and Sky are going to wind up together.
Well, because Simmons has to be with Trip now.
Well, maybe we don't know anything about Trip.
I don't know, but he likes Simmons. That's what matters.
But I mean, he's going to go for what he wants.
But Ward is Sky's SO. Like, is that like super against the rules? Like,
well, it was probably against the rules for him and May to hook up.
Not as much because he's her mentor. Like, he's supposed to be her.
Yeah, it's a big no-no. I'm sure the S.H.I.E.L.D. HR department would have a fit.
That's probably why the guys are usually with the guys, it seemed like, rather than crossing.
Wait, excuse me? What gay relationship?
Like, on missions.
Oh. No, but like Tripp and Garrett.
Garrett was both Ward's. But they had a moment, too. Like, I made this man do things.
You wouldn't believe what I talked to this guy.
You remember that from last week.
But I just...
I'm so proud of the amount of Twitter activity that the word butt stuff spurred on in the last week.
Wait, did you get
Kudos
a lot of hashtags?
I got like a couple. I got like three. I had someone, there was one guy, I can't remember who tweeted it. I feel like such a dick for not remembering, but he literally contacted another podcast that deals with like bathroom humor. It's like poop something. And he was like, you guys should do a podcast together, hashtag butt stuff. I'm like, what are we talking about? I was just making a joke. But thank you for all your butt stuff related support.
But just to clear it up, that's why the SOs, it seems like.
Right.
Garrett.
Because they prefer it in the butt.
Trip.
Exactly.
Right.
Things are cleaner that way?
No, that's the exact opposite of what's happening.
Oh, my God.
But in any case.
Moving on.
It's a murky situation. Don't even touch that. And
that's what she said.
No, we're not touching it. Let's talk about Sky and Coulson and Simmons and Coulson. Simmons goes to Coulson. She's been pulling all this blood from Sky, trying to figure out what's going on with GH325.
Because there's no residue left. They injected it all.
All of it.
There's no trace of it in Sky's blood.
None. So she's like, what is going on? She goes to Coulson trying to... She wants to contact S.H.I.E.L.D. for more resources. And we have never seen the kind of face on Coulson that we get now, where he has like...
Or on Simmons.
Or Simmons.
Yeah.
She was out of her comfort zone there.
I thought she was possessed for a second.
Just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because we've seen her, like, pretend to stand up to him before when they were playing a role on the train. But no, this was, like, genuinely taking aback. Yeah. Like, whoa.
I like driven Simmons.
Me too.
Yeah. I like it a lot.
Well, I think just because we see how much she cares for Sky. And, you know, we saw everybody's different relationships. And because Simmons, you know, Tripp's not there. Mike Peterson, you know, her romantic relationship. This is her... I feel like, I mean, they're soulmates without the romantic, you know, part to it. And because they're always looking out for each other, especially Simmons towards Sky sees like this goodness and there's an attraction there. And again, I don't mean this anyway romantically, but there's a deep friendship, even though they don't know each other.
And I think, oh, go ahead.
No, it's okay.
Oh, I was just saying that, you know, people underestimate her because she is so quiet and she's so cute and adorable and stumbles over her words and everything like that. So, you know, people look at her and probably make a lot of assumptions about what kind of person she is. But then when we see her stand up like this, even we're surprised. But at the same time, we're like, yes, go Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're both motivated by how much they care about Sky. I mean, she's obviously concerned about both Coulson and Sky, but Coulson wants to make sure that, at least I was under the impression that, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't do anything else with Sky or with him before they find out exactly what they have in them. So they're,
And obviously Coulson doesn't want them to know because they're the ones that have the guest house in the first place to know about this thing.
Well, they don't own the guest house. Nick Fury has, like...
But they know about it, and who knows how that was all connected. And if she starts asking, the lower people are going to ask the higher people. Right. And, you know.
The point is, Agent Fury kept the guest house a secret for a reason. And the fact is, if they let S.H.I.E.L.D. Command know that they've been to the guest house, that there's another person with GH-325 in their system, who knows what they could do to Sky? They could dismantle the entire team. They could lock both of them up in, you know, testing labs for the rest of their lives.
Because this was all supposed to be secret. And now that secret's out, they're going to have to do whatever it takes to protect all what they know.
Also, you know, Coulson wants to know desperately why Fury was hiding this, what else he's hiding. And the only way he's going to be able to conduct that investigation is if he and Sky are able to conduct it incognito. However, unbeknownst to them, Melinda May has been listening in on them potentially the entire time throughout the entire season and reporting back to someone, potentially S.H.I.E.L.D. HQ, potentially Nick Fury, who knows.
And I think prior to this, she didn't have to eavesdrop, actually, because Coulson was confiding in her willingly for most everything.
Yeah.
You know, he's her go-to person in terms of, like, when he has, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff to talk about that he can't tell the other team members.
S.H.I.E.L.D.-y,
you know,
stuff.
She's the one he always talks to. And, you know, and she, but yeah, knowing, and then she's the one that directed him towards Sky, as you guys were mentioning earlier. You know, so, like, oh, my gosh.
She's like, I know there's a mic down there.
Like, well, what's in it for her to spy on them like that?
I'm sure we'll
find out. Who is she calling? Is she calling S.H.I.E.L.D. or is she calling the clairvoyant?
No, she's. I think she's calling S.H.I.E.L.D. The question is, who in S.H.I.E.L.D. is she talking to?
Is it Victoria Hand?
Well, she's supposed to be back pretty soon.
Well, it very well could be Victoria.
Well, I just hope it's Fury so that he can come on the show.
Yes.
I like it.
I like it, but I doubt it. I still want Maria Hill to be on the show and How
that
I Met Your Mother
great.
Wrapped.
Well, you know, it's ending this year. We'll find out. Okay, is there anything left in this episode you want to talk about, or can we go to predictions?
Can we talk about how Matt yelled so loud that the studio next door had to come in?
Okay, listen. When May went on that radio and she started telling somebody about what was up with Coulson and Sky, I may have shouted at the top of my lungs.
You can't recall.
Several times.
I'm gonna lean back from this microphone. What? What? No! No! May, what? I may have done something like that. And it was very disruptive, and I apologize to everyone at home and everyone who may have been affected by my shouting, but frankly, it was a shocking moment, and I can't apologize.
Can I also disclose that he was drinking some wine previous to the show?
Listen, I do the Cougar Town after show, and you can't watch Cougar Town without drinking red wine. It's just part of the program.
True.
Okay? Predictions, please.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
All right, folks. Who do we think May was talking to, and where do we see the series going? Now, next week, we don't have an episode. We have a special where they're going to give previews of Winter Soldier, Captain America: The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, and...
More Deathlok.
More Deathlok, more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know at this time if we're doing a recap of the special, but I know it's going to be appointment viewing for many a Marvel fan. In the interim, when we're waiting for new episodes, what do we think is happening?
I would like to see some shit go down with Fury. That's what I want to see. Coulson, like, this is it. Like, this was the last straw. He's going to go rogue.
Well, we haven't had a confrontation with him since, like, episode 2. And this is after Coulson learns about what happened to him. So, yeah, we are well overdue.
Completely rogue, and that's how the season will end. Yeah. He'll just be gone or something. On his own accord. But with this, I'm very interested to see, you know, why May did this, and I think this will bring back, I know Victoria Hand's going to be back at some point, and I have to wonder if that's not the reason she comes back. And we also have Garrett, and who knows how involved he is. I don't know if I tend to think he knows, but it's Bill Paxton, so
right.
He should know everything.
While we're getting him back later this season, your prediction, Kristen, earlier in the season I would have said that that's how the season would end, but now I feel like he'll be pushed to that edge, but will uncover a threat so astronomical that he can't possibly leave, whether it's external or internal within S.H.I.E.L.D. I hope that we have our showdown with the clairvoyant this season. We don't carry that out to next year. We get something different. Obviously, there's a lot of planning that goes into this show when syncing it up with the movies. I'm just very excited to see what the rest of this back half of the season has to hold for us.
Do we know if it's supposed to tie into Winter Soldier?
There's no confirmed tie-in episode that I know of, but Winter Soldier is very S.H.I.E.L.D.-centric. So I imagine we're going to see some fallout.
That might be why we haven't been able to get a hold of Fury, is he's probably wrapped up in whatever's going on with Winter Soldier.
Agreed. Okay, Megan Salinas, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin.
And Kristen Carroll.
You can find me, Kristen Carroll 13 on Twitter, and I also do Walking Dead here.
And you can find me on Twitter at JAJOUR and on the Sunday Night Shameless podcast.
Okay, wait, so it's just Jajour? It's not Jajour?
Oh, it's J-A-J-O-U-R-I. Did I
say? Okay. Yeah, you didn't say the I. Just
whoops,
making sure.
Can't spell my name.
Yeah. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, and I imagine that you do, you could find me at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV on Justified, Cougar Town, Lost Girl, Banshee, Helix, Resurrection. Got new shows coming up in April. Playing House on USA. Orphan Black on BBC America. Got Mad Men coming back on AMC. Bunch of great announcements coming up for the spring. Please stay tuned. I want to thank everyone for watching, downloading, streaming, listening. Do whatever you got to do. I love you.
Thank
good night.
You. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.